In preparing for this talk, I realized that what I'm really talking about is my journey of self-acceptance. I'm telling a story about the times that I heard my inner voice guiding me to do healthy things and right things, and when I was able to act on that. It's also about hearing the words of significant people who valued and nurtured my creativity. Retirement has given me the luxury of being able to reflect on this. I really like the story this morning about Ish. As you can see, many of my pieces of art are very Ish. Joan said a little bit about my background, that I was a home ec teacher and that I was a counselor. I was a home ec teacher and an alternate ed teacher for teen moms for about 13 years, and then I got my counseling degree and was a high school counselor for 20 years. And I've been retired for 18 months and loving every second of it. Part of my training as a home ec teacher was taking textile art courses where I learned things like how to spin wool, how to dye using natural dyes, batiking, all of those kinds of things. Some of you I know were around in the 70s when I was getting my degree, and so you know that was a time when there was a lot of textile art around and people were learning all of those back to the roots kind of techniques. I have a prop that I have to show you. This was a gift I gave my father after my degree in home ec, and he refers to it fondly as his $40,000 tie. It's hand-dyed, you know, with natural items. So I learned a lot then, and over the course of my career, there were times when I did focus a bit on the textiles, but there were many years where I didn't do any art or any textile work at all, except what I had to do for work. When I was growing up, my mom taught us how to sew, but she also taught us how to make many things. We made doll clothes, we did cutouts, we made pictures, and she did a lot of things as well. I remember her making centerpieces for tables for dances that she and Dad would go to. She made Christmas decorations, and she did petit point and knitting and a number of different crafts. But one of the significant things that at the time she wouldn't have known this, and I only recognized it in reflection, was that she went to night school and learned how to do ceramics. And that modeled for me that adults and adult women can go to school and do things that they're interested in, and I remembered that. In professional development, I did some sewing and tailoring kind of workshops and also some wellness workshops. And this piece here was one of the first pieces that I did at a wellness workshop, just a group of us that were getting together to do something creative. And I started just by painting on a piece of fabric with whatever paint happened to be in the art room at school. And then I took it home, and it was from a picture of in Newfoundland that I had taken. And I did a little bit of quilting and sewing on it. So I got started with that, and it was helpful to have a group of people that were all working together doing their own thing. I had a couple of jobs over the years where I was doing textile-related work. I worked for FAF for a year, which is a sewing company, and I learned a lot about sewing machines. And I worked for a company called Albies, which was a fabric store, and learned lots about fabric. So I've gathered bits of information from different places over the years. And what I've discovered about the creative process for me is that making beautiful things gives me peace, satisfaction, and joy. It's fun for me. I'm an introvert, so the solitary process of creating really suits my personality. And I find that we're in a very extroverted world where extroversion is valued and introversion not so much. So for me, it gives me that time to re-energize and just kind of calm myself down after being out in an introverted world, which certainly a high school is. Never a dull moment. I love the whole process, from the visualizing what I might do to shopping, the feel of the fabric, the thread, the actual motion of sewing and painting. I love all of it. It excites me and it interests me. I didn't always know that the creative process was important. When I look back, I now know that I intuitively turned to making things in times of crisis and in times when I felt stressed. For example, as a teenager, if I was feeling lonely, I would draw or I would paint, just in a sketchbook, nothing that anyone else would see. When I was going through crises in my life, like breakups in relationships, I would instinctively know that I wanted to take an art class or I wanted to do something creative, I might sew. When I was a counselor, if I'd had a particularly stressful day, one of the things I would do on the way home from work is I would stop at Fabricana, which is a fabric store in Richmond, and I would just hang out with the fabric. And I didn't have to do anything. It was just being in that environment with the colors and the textures and thinking about what I might make restored my soul. It was amazing, the power of that. I learned from experts. Being a teacher, of course, like going to classes was a thing that I was comfortable doing. So I would go to workshops on textile techniques, or I would go to a workshop on wellness or creativity or something where I would just get more information about this whole creative thing. One of the things I learned there was that it's not so much the thing that you're making and the outcome that's important as it is the whole process of creating that thing, the actual making of it. That gave me a bit more courage to actually try and experiment and not be so focused on what the outcome was. I also learned that the creative process for anybody, whether it's sewing or art or baking or woodwork or writing poetry, whatever that process is, it restores you and me emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And I knew that intuitively, but somehow it gave more value to it, hearing it from the experts. That too gave me more incentive and more courage to do what I felt that I wanted to do. But there were a number of barriers that I had to get through and over in order to actually carve out that creative time. One, of course, was the long hours and the intensity of work. There wasn't a whole lot left over energy-wise when I got home, and sometimes time-wise. Just the need to keep up professionally, like learning the ever-changing computer skills I needed for my job, or the latest protocol, or the latest theory. There was always some other kind of learning that I needed to be doing. And also my desire to have a social life. Sewing by yourself in your apartment is not very social. And if I wanted to be dating or going out and meeting people, I couldn't sew. That wasn't what you did. So I learned things like golf and skiing and, you know, things that I did with other people. But I left my interests on the back burner. And I did that a lot. I also have this thing about not being very tidy. My mother will attest to that I kind of leave a trail behind me. And so the ever-present challenge of keeping my apartment tidy was an uphill battle, but I always tried to do it. There were some internal challenges that I had to get over too. I didn't know what I wanted to create or how to begin, and sometimes that would paralyze me. I had a belief somewhere deep inside that you had to be good or you had to be talented, otherwise why bother? I was afraid to speak up and say no to people when they asked me to do things, so I had to learn how to do that in order to carve out that time where I could actually have the solitude that I needed. That applied to my personal life as well as my work life. But underlying that, I just didn't value my own creative side of myself. It always got put on the back burner. I had fear and a judgment around doing things by myself. Somewhere I learned that only losers do things by themselves. Don't ask me where I got that, but somehow being social and being out there and doing activities out in the world was valued. And I was just afraid of not knowing what was going to happen if I traveled by myself to see exhibitions or if I joined a class by myself. So it took some courage to do that. There were a number of things that helped me get through and to break through those barriers. One of them was a book that someone recommended to me called The Artist's Way, and I imagine some of you have gone through this. This is a book that helps you get over yourself. It really gives you some practical skills to get rid of some of those voices in your head that stop you from trying things. It was very useful. And I just hunted around to find things that would help me out, and I found this book called Celebrate Your Creative Self. And it had all kinds of pictures and activities you could do to just play with media of various different kinds. That was useful as well. But of course, I'm a teacher, and books and learning is what I do comfortably, so that worked for me. Another thing I do, this was recommended to me by someone else, is I buy coloring books. And I have them in front of my TV so that if I'm just sitting and watching television and I don't feel particularly creative, I color. And it gets me just thinking and practicing shading, and it's fun. I really enjoy it. I have taken many, many drawing, painting, textile technique classes. I love workshops. Now, not only does it give me the confidence to know those techniques so that I have a big range of things to draw from, but it puts me in contact with like-minded people. And it's very inspiring and energizing to have the people around you be excited about the same kinds of things. And I got lots of ideas from them as well. I got over the messiness fear, and I created a studio in the dining room part of my apartment. It's set up, and it's just there whenever I want to go in there and work. A career counselor that I went to see at one point suggested that I do that. She said, you need to set up a space that you can just leave. You can't be putting things away every time you want to do something, otherwise you'll never do it, which was true. So I turned my dining room into a studio, and she said, I want you to sit there for 15 minutes a day. Doesn't matter if you do anything creative or not. You can organize your thread if that's what you feel like doing. But just be there, and you'll be amazed at how one thing leads to another, and you'll be there longer than 15 minutes. And she was right. I started small with a friend, and my friend had a bag full of fabric and notions that she had intended on making a wall hanging out of, and I was at her place one day, and we hauled it out, and she looked at it and was about to put it back in the bag again, and I said, give it to me. I'll do something with it. So that got me started with ideas from her, and she trusted me to cut into her fabric. When I get that feeling of I don't know where to start, I start to play with things, and I sometimes make just little things. And in my brain, I'll say, okay, I'm just going to try this material, and I'm going to play with this technique, not with the intention of coming up with an end product, but just to play. And somehow these little things are more manageable. The internet is great for introverts. I get to go on to blogs of other textile artists, and I get to look at photographs. This picture over here was inspired by a photograph from the internet, and so was this one over here. Actually, my mom found this photograph, and I don't know if you remember that, Mom, or not, but that was really helpful for me, too. I also ventured to enter things into challenges and exhibits at various different guilds or museums. I've got the two cherry blossom pieces, this one here and this one here. This was the first one I ever did, and this is the one I'm going to enter into the exhibit this year. It's in West Vancouver. And it was a pretty safe bet because they pretty much take whatever people enter into the exhibit, so I didn't have to go too competitive, which was suited me just fine. This is from my own photograph of a place on the Sunshine Coast. And some are just inspired by the fabric itself. This was a batik that I really liked. And this was just playing with some materials that I had. So my source of inspiration comes from a number of places. This little one here, I call one of my hotel pictures. Because when I travel by myself, I don't always feel comfortable going out in the evening by myself. So I usually take a little bag of materials that I can work with by hand. And you'd be amazed at what you can do with an ironing board and fusible webbing and hand stitching in a hotel. So that one I started in a hotel and then finished by machine when I got home. I got a digital camera, very inspiring, because you can just delete everything you don't like, and it helped me with composition. I joined a guild, and I also joined a museum in San Diego called the Visions Quilt Museum. It also inspired me to travel to go see this particular museum. The very end piece on the music stand, I call So You Think You Can Dance. I love that program on TV. And there was the multicolored fabric in the background. You might not be able to see it from where you're at. I loved the fabric, and it got me thinking about what I wanted to do. And then I just drew lines that made me think about dancing. So my inspiration comes from many different places. At the beginning of my talk, I said to you that this was my journey of self-acceptance. So what did I have to accept? I had to accept that being an introvert and liking to be alone is okay. I knew that I needed to learn some skills in order to speak up for myself. I needed to let go of what other people thought of me. I learned and I needed to accept that I can be a feminist and still enjoy traditional women's work. I also needed to accept that I needed to be creative and I needed to pay attention to that in order to be emotionally healthy. I had to accept that it was okay to just mess around with materials and not make anything. And in fact, it was okay to live in a mess. I needed to seek out like-minded people. And I needed to accept that the fact that making art was important to me is enough. And as a friend of mine said, what other people think of that is none of my business. My inner voice, whom I call my wise woman, is worth listening to. And in fact, she's been there all along, and sometimes I just wasn't paying attention. I hope that what I've said today gives you some incentive to pay attention to your own creativity, some tools to use, and some courage to experiment. I also hope that you're more able to support the creativity of the people in your life and to speak up for what you need. Thank you.